Happy Pentecost, God's people. In the 1960s, there was a musical group called The Beatles. And one of their hit songs was, "All You Need Is Love." And that's the title of the message today, "All You Need Is Love." You know, we use the word love quite frequently, a word to express the word and a sentiment we use and express frequently. The theme of love is expressed in our relationships, in our music, in our films, in our media. Everyone, it seems, is looking for love. But what is true love, and where can you find it? Is love based on feelings? Do we fall in and out of love? I love you today, I don't love you tomorrow. Well, there are certain Greek words for love. One is storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, and that means familiar love, natural affection, familiar love for your children, your siblings, and other family members. That word is not in the New Covenant. Then is eros, which is romantic love, and that's not in the New Covenant either. And then is philia, P-H-I-L-E-O, word 5368 in the Concordance. And filial means a sentiment or feeling, to be a friend to be fond of. Philadelphia is a word in the New Covenant. It's 5360, and it means brotherly love, kindness, such as in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And then there is godly love. And godly love is expressed by two words, actually. One is agapeo, A-G-A-P-A-O, agapeo, which is word 25 in the Concordance, and agape, which is word 26. And agape comes as a derivative of agapeo. And God's love is a selfless, not selfish, selfless love. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. Once you have agape love, you will always have it for people, and you will never take it away from anyone. You know, we even are told to love our enemies. And it means, the word 25, agapo, means to love in a social or moral sense. To love in a social or moral sense. To be devoted to. It's something you choose to do. It's not basically based on feelings. I always use the example of Jesus. Jesus went around healing people, but, you know, he didn't even know them. He might see them there and have mercy on them and heal them, and then he'd go his way, maybe never see them again. So did he have that strong, you know, emotional attachment? Well, no, because he didn't even know them. But yet he loved them. He loved everyone. And so that is a godly love. And agape, which is 26, is affectionate or benevolence. Affectionate or benevolence. Again, unconditional selfless love, but based on affection or benevolence. Benevolence means to be kind, to be doing good, with positive intentions. With positive intentions. Now, if you turn to John 21 and verse 15, we could see a relationship between two of these words, filio and agapo. Agapo. John 21 and verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. And this is when Jesus was resurrected, and he was talking to Peter, Simon Peter. And remember, Simon Peter had denied him three times. And so Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest you me more than these?" Meaning the other disciples. He says unto him, Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he uses the word phileo, which means, "Yes, I know, Lord. Yes, I have a friendship for you. I'm fond of you. I have a sentiment or feeling for you." And then Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." But then Jesus says again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Simon said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And again, Simon uses phileo. And then God says to him the third time, Jesus says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, Jonas, do you love me? Three times. And this time, Jesus uses the word phileo. He doesn't use agapo. He uses phileo. And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things I know, that you know that I love you. And again, he uses the word phileo. So here we see that Jesus is using the godly term for love, unselfish love, unconditional love for everyone. But Peter was responding with phileo, which means, yes, I love you, Lord. You know, I have feelings for you. You know, you're a friend. I'm fond of you. But Jesus was expressing the godly love. But then the third time, Jesus started with phileo, which Peter had been using. Because really, we're going to see that agape and agapeo, love is godly love. And you cannot have it if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God. And of course, the Holy Spirit, we'll use agape, we use that term. Agape, or godly love, is a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, it's the first fruit of the Spirit. And you know, God is not a Trinity. We know that. On the day of Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power. Even Jesus said, wait until you receive the power from on high. The Holy Spirit is the essence of God, the power of God. It's God living in us. It's not a third person of a Godhead. And so we all understand that. But my wife was telling me, you know, you're coming here, and this Knights of Columbus is based on Catholicism, and so they're going to believe in the Trinity, and so I want to clear the air, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I said, okay, honey, I'll make sure I make that distinction. So again, we can only have agape love through the Holy Spirit living in us. If you turn to 1 John 4 and verse 7, please. 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. And again, we're talking about godly love here. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born or begotten of God and knows God. So if we don't have that godly love, we don't know God. But we have His Holy Spirit. And so you all have access to the godly God's love. And God is love, as we're going to see. And so basically, you have to tap into that love through God's Spirit, through Jesus Christ living in you, and express that love. Love is an action. It's an action. It's not just a word. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And we're talking about godly love. So if you don't love, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And we're required to love everybody, even our enemies. And again, it's not based on emotions. It's based on a moral in sense and social sense of duty, of what God expects of us. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. If you go to John 15 and verse 9, please. John 15. John 15 and verse 9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, talking to the disciples. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this is higher than love your neighbor as yourself. This is loving others as Christ has loved us. And by the way, the word that's for love your neighbor as yourself is also the godly love word, agape. And so you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless you have agape love. So this is my commandment, that you have one another, love one another as I've loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were, if God could call us his friends? And you know, that's just a wonderful thing. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So we bear fruit through God's Spirit in us. These things I command you, that you love one another. So it's a command. It's a command that we love one another. And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, please. 1 Corinthians 13. This is the love chapter, of course, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunted itself, not itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeks not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Believes, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And so this is a description of the unselfish love, which is godly love. So, again, agape love is not primarily a feeling, but rather a way of life that results in action towards others, you know. And so when we say we love somebody, like your spouse, you better have the actions to prove it, right? And to that godly love. And, you know, fleshly love is all about getting. Godly love is about giving. You don't have to turn here, but Galatians 5 and verse 14, the word is agapeo, for love your neighbor as yourself. And in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands love your wives. Again, it's the word agapeo. Just a few more scriptures. We turn to 1 John 3 to emphasize the message. All you need is godly love. 1 John 3, verse 10. This table's kind of low. I find myself bending down. If you don't see me, that means I'm trying to read my scriptures here. 1 John 3, verse 10. Okay. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loves not his brother. Do you have a grudge against somebody? Do you hate somebody? Do you have somebody in your life that you have bad feelings for? Well, we need to make use of God's love in our lives. Neither he that loves not his brother knows not God. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? So love is an action again. So we need to be serving other people, helping other people whenever we can. And if you have God's love in you, it's going to happen. You know, you're not going to be able to really stifle it. My little children, let us not love in word. It's easy to say to your spouse, I love you, dear. But, you know, you have a little argument, and I don't love you anymore, you know. And let's not love in word, neither in tongue. You know, that word love is cheap. We love our car, we love our wife, we love doing this, doing that. But godly love is a genuine, unselfish love, unconditional love for others. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. In deed and truth. At 1 John 4, at verse 9, 1 John 4, at verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Nobody loved God until we got to know God. We were called and we responded, and then we had the Holy Spirit, and we developed a love towards God also. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. That's how we know God dwells in us, through his Spirit and through our actions towards others. God dwells in us. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is love. And so if we have his Spirit, we must exhibit that love for others. We can't be closet Christians. We have to be serving others, helping others, praying for others, being compassionate for others. And that means getting to know one another. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. At verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. So again, is there anybody you hate? Is there anybody you dislike? To the point where, you know, you want to avoid that person or wish them harm. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And 2 John, we're almost finished, 2 John 5. We hardly ever go to 2 John, but just turn the page over. 2 John, verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which ye had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments, that we obey God. If we love God, we're going to obey God. This is the commandment that has you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. In closing, if we turn to Colossians 3 and verse 12, So on this day of Pentecost, we have the power of God's love. And God is love. He lives in us. And we have that love. We can tap into it. So if you find yourself short in some areas in terms of loving others, you know, beseech God, pray to God that he will, through his Spirit, that he will, if you're willing and you see a need, God will fulfill that need. You know, we're all growing spiritually. We don't have the full measure of the Spirit either. That was something that I thought about recently, and God put in my head, yes, that's right, we don't. Because if we had the full measure of the Spirit, well, we'd be like Jesus, and we wouldn't have to develop our character or develop his mind. But he gives us just enough of the Spirit so that we could fight off the flesh and we could develop spiritually and we could develop the mind and character of Jesus Christ, because we have free will and he wants us to use our free will to become changed and become like Jesus Christ. So he gives us just a portion of his Spirit. And in closing, Colossians 3, verse 12, so don't take for granted the love of God. And God in you. Colossians 3, verse 12. I'm sorry, I said that many times. okay. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. So, receiving the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, we should have mercy towards people. Kindness. We should be humble of mind. We should be meek. We should be long-suffering, as God is long-suffering towards us. Forbearing one another. That means putting up with one another, forgiving them. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness.